Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey, everybody. It's Kylan Patterson, Pay for Pay Real Talk Midwest Muscle. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle. I love just saying muscle. I don't know, it just rolls right off the tongue. And we are the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the wizard. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Dad?
Like Mack Truck through ice cream. Chocolate,
yes, it is.
Ice cream.
So tasty. So tasty. Snickerdoodle. Yes, it is. They got a snickerdoodle.
No,
they do.
Not.
Check us out at P4P Muscle, snickerdoodleprotein.com. And now, let's go. How you doing, Dad?
I am just awesome tonight. I the weather is changing. I am so ready for spring. I am so over politics. I'm done listening about it. But I'm on an uptick. I'm on an uptick. So it's good. I'm even going to let your snickerdoodle protein overshadow my chocolate ice cream comment, and I'm going to be okay with that.
Wow.
I know.
Is the world ending? Is the world ending? Is it?
Miracles happen every day, folks. Every day. Every day. Although,
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and point out that, you know, our last guest last week, their favorite P4P protein flavor was not Snickerdoodle. Of course, it wasn't chocolate either.
Oh,
but just
okay,
the fact
yeah.
that it wasn't Snickerdoodle was a win. Was a win. It was ice cream sandwich.
Okay, just an FYI, Carla wants to know, is Dad okay, and did she take her pre-workout?
Carla, I am great, and no, I have not had any pre-workout today, so I will take that as a key to, as a indication I should bring it down a notch, maybe. Maybe it's too soon for this much Desiree this early in the show. Might be too soon. But we have
No. You got to represent for us ladies. That's what she said. No.
Gotcha.
You have to represent for us ladies.
I'm ready. I'm ready to battle the man.
SpongeBob.
Don't you worry.
Okay, SpongeBob.
But, no, seriously, we do have a great show tonight. And, you know, I always say that because I love every show that we do, but we've got another spectacular. Can I speak tonight? Spectacular guest who's on the phone with us. And Mr. KP, why don't you set that up for us?
Oh yes. An amazing individual in his own right, but a very passionate human being as well. And this guy has just been, let's go use some words that might scare some and actually intrigue others. This man has been through a plethora of issues in life and had dealing with all kinds of things from just like Mad Cat to posing routines to just everything that runs the gambit for prep. So if anybody is listening tonight and has a question about prep dilemmas, this man would know because he's been basically doing it all and doing it well and actually gaining the pro status that everyone seems to covet so much and then not know what to do with after that. He's still found ways with that as well. And he has been on stage with some of the greats. And the world was just one of the things that he was attempting on stage with the DFPT world. And it was just an all-star packed stage that night. And that was just amazing. So I'm definitely going to love for the listeners to get to hear about that experience. And he also has his own business going, so he's reaching out in ways that most won't understand or counterplay yet, but he's still making sure that everyone is still being addressed in a way that really shows his appreciation and love of God. So I'd like to introduce Matt Verdez and have him say hi, and then we'll get going from there.
So this is where I say hi, right? I'm just
yeah.
making sure.
Yeah.
Hi. Hello. What's going on? Well, good evening, everyone. I'm just saying hi. Kaylin, back to you.
Well, there we go.
There you go.
I'm sorry?
I was like, there, keep going. You're doing great.
Touching base, it has been one of those journeys that when I first started, I didn't know where I was going. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I was one of those people that, you know, when you're 305 pounds, you don't really envision stepping on stage. And that basically what it was is at work, working an actual sales job. The guys at work, they decided to have one of these, weight loss challenges at the beginning of the year. You know, everybody hops on the New Year's resolution. You know, this was kind of a... And you just sit there and you just go, okay, well, you know, I'll drop a few pounds. I'll see if I can win this little contest. And, you know, always having that competitive spirit, you just sit there and go, okay, well, where am I going to take this? So I entered the gym after, a long, I think it was like 9 years since I'd actually stepped foot in a gym and been serious. And you start losing weight and it just got to be like a snowball effect. And then you'd see these posters at the gym saying, oh, hey, look, there's a local bodybuilding show. That sounds like fun. And, you know, when you've dropped 50, 60 pounds, you're like, oh, well, you know, how much lower are you going to go, right? And it just kept going. And, you know, when there were some people that were working at the gym at one point in time said, yeah, you'll never be a bodybuilder. Oh, man. What things never, ever to tell somebody who's competitive. And at the beginning, you know, it just was losing weight and saying, oh, hey, maybe I'm going to go get off the treadmill now. I'm going to go lift some weights and start lifting weights. You start getting the groove of it. And it kept unfolding. And by the end of 11 and a half months, I did my first show, which was actually the local show, which was the Heart of America NGA show that John Abraham puts on. And when you lose 137 pounds, you know, it's a completely different world for me. You know, doing that in a year's time is something that I won't ever recommend anybody doing, but it was definitely the beginning of something I didn't even think was possible. So, and then from there, you know, I had a lot of friends chime in on helping me with prep, and I always believe in, you know, learning something new every day. And well, I wanted to elevate to the next level. So I ended up getting another prep coach, or a prep coach, I should say. And that was kind of a little misguided on my part, because kind of like I was saying before, it wasn't exactly the best way of nutrition and exercising for me at that point. Basically going into a show completely and utterly depleted, it took me to a point of being so low. I knew all my hormones were shot. You're eating like bare minimum carbs, bare minimum fat, and you have a couple hundred grams of protein, which is like just chicken or fish, and there's no sodium involved, and all the old school bro style dieting. You just sit there and go, what was I thinking? This is miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Miserable for one.
But if you don't know any better.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the repercussions of that were I did well at the show. I placed definitely pretty high, and I was pretty content with how I placed. However, the backlash of eating massive amounts of cookies and cakes and burgers, and at the end of about 3 weeks and only about maybe five or six, you know, crazy meals, I had gained like, what was it, 38 pounds. And I look kind of like I was saying earlier, I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man with vascularity. So it was not a pretty sight.
Wow,
fight,
that's a good description, yeah.
And that's when I actually decided there's got to be a better way. And I started asking around, and it turns out you know, I chat with Mike Newman on a couple times, just here and there, and he actually had suggested a gentleman named Cliff Wilson, and got with him at the beginning of the next year, and of course, I was still ripping and roaring and wanting to compete again. And yeah, that's when Cliff taught me the lessons of patience. And that was the opening to a whole new world of actually wanting to learn how not to be coached or coach others in the manner of old school nutrition, and actually learn what I was doing.
So, Matthew, if I could jump in for just a quick second here before we finish hearing your story about that part of your journey, because I know that our listeners are wondering, two steps earlier, when you initially lost your 137 pounds, you primarily did that all on your own? Or at what point did you start with your first coach, even though he may... It sounds like you didn't have the best process in place, but, you know, I guess how much weight did you lose training on your own before you transitioned to a coach and then stepped on stage for the first time?
Well, and that was just something that I learned early on before I had stopped lifting back in high school and before I hit my 20s. I had become a personal trainer at a very, very young age. And everything that I have known when it comes to training, or basically the base of everything, started when I was about 15, 16 years old. You know, I was a wrestler, I was a football player. And so, you know, I knew a little bit about nutrition. I knew I had to feed if I wanted to, you know, attain more muscle, and if I wanted to lose weight and make weight for wrestling, hey, I had to drop some stuff. So that is where basically some and a lot of the knowledge actually got me started. However, there was a lot of bodybuilders in the area that, you know, they knew what direction I wanted to go in. So I would ask for input from them and see what they thought. And actually I remember my buddy, Austin Furch. He was competing at the time, and we had known each other because,
Austin!
You know, hey, you remember Austin.
yes!
But,
Mr. Huggable.
Say what?
I said Mr. Huggable.
Oh, yeah, he's Mr. Huggable. But, he actually, he got me started, and I started looking up, I think there was an old Skybation book. I think it was, like a 3-day low carb, and basically it was the first nutrition plan I actually ever put myself on, which was a carb cycle, and it worked. You know, it was just one of those things that, hey, you know, I got down in weight, but I needed to take it to the next level, so I tried something a little bit different, and those were some of the things that did work. Let alone working your tail off at the gym. So
yeah,
and that's
awesome. Well, and
that dreaded call.
I know. Call. I hate it. It makes my heart stop when that happens. But I'm just going to say. So thanks
all
to our listener.
Worst nightmare.
I know. To our listener, Shell, who was interested in the same question that I just asked you. But while we are stopped here, I'm going to put this question to both Kaylin and Matthew, because Bill is wanting to know more about the Heart of America show that you, Matthew, alluded to just a couple of minutes ago.
I'll let Matt go first.
What would you like to know about the show? I mean, it happens every year right around the first week of May, and I've enjoyed doing that show many, many times over. John Abraham, he puts on a nice show. And as of recently, the past is it 3 years? Jonathan Agin's been putting on his show, the NGA, what does he call it? The MPC NGA Championships.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Natural.
The Natural.
Yes.
Show.
But it's
Natural Peoria Championship, NPC?
Yes. Not to be confused.
That's an awesome show as well.
We're all confused now. But Bill, so just so you know, Matthew is right. The 2017 show is May 5th of this year for the Heart of America
May 6th.
Natural Classic, May 5th. And the website is hoanaturalclassic.com. So if there is more information or more details that you're looking for, you can check that out and probably find everything that you're looking for. Again, that's hoanaturalclassic.com. And so I'm going to turn it back over. Matthew, Cliff Wilson, Next Level, still hungry to compete? What's going on there?
Basically, having a hunger to compete and wanting to compete right after your first show is something that's always prevalent. You know, you want to get back out there as soon as you get off stage because it's just a rush. And though that's great, Cliff actually helped me put the brakes and learn that sometimes I need to take some time off in order to repair damage that actually happens to us natural athletes because of, you know, contest prep is not always the most beneficial when it comes to getting as lean as we need to be or maintaining as much muscle or basically just when you come back on stage, having the best physique that you can possibly have after being off stage for a period of time. And it's if you're going to compete again, you want to bring basically a package that they haven't seen before instead of bringing the same package again and again and again. And he taught me quite a bit when it came to patience level because even this last year before I did Josh Miller's NGA in October, and I was actually going to do the Miami World Finals on the 29th of October, but ended up canceling that. And it was still nice. I was able to be there for my clients for that show and do a little guest posing. That was a kind of a thrill and had a lot of fun with that. And then I ended with the Pro NGA Pro Universe down in Fort Lauderdale on the 12th of November. And the entire time I was itching to get on stage about 2 months before even the October show. And it was, even though you have a better package than you've ever had, making sure that you have a coach that's looking at you saying, hey, look, I know you want to compete, but you can compete and you'll be competitive. But if you want to place top of the ranks, you need to have patience. So, and I listened, even though I was, you know, gritting my teeth going, I want to so bad. And it's always learning to have patience to wait for something that's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And Matt, you know, when you're talking about that, I just got a message from Sean. He said, I guess he's been trying to compete, and he's in one of his lower stages right now. And he's been approached by people that, you know, basically want to give him enhancements to get him through the tough times. I know that you approached in that arena. I don't know when it happened, but I know you've actually had to deal with that. And what's the best advice you can give to someone that wants to stay natural?
Well, it's literally a matter of mindset. You have to want to reel it back and understand that where you're at right now isn't where you're going to be at a year from now. It isn't going to be where you're going to be at 2 years from now. And, you know, this sport is about having extreme amounts of patience and learning that it's going to change over time. You know, I'm going to be 35 here in February, and the guys that are the greatest athletes in the sport, or a good portion of them, are in their 40s, their 50s. For bodybuild, 50s and 60s. I've seen some even in their 70s. Who was it? Mr. Abs. Kalen, you know the name I'm looking for.
If you hadn't said that, I had you. If you hadn't said that, I had you. Oh, my goodness.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. But that gentleman,
yes, I mean,
he's in impeccable shape and into his 70s. And even for women, you know, it gets that way because you hold on to leaner body mass for longer periods of time. And when people just realize that if you have the patience, the body is going to take you there. You just have to be patient with it. And I was approached by there's always people that approach you at the gym going, oh yeah, right, there's no way you can be natural. And I go, when you put the time and you put the work in, you can have things that you never thought possible if you just have the patience.
Yes.
Eat right, exercise like you're a crazy madman at the gym, and learn to rest when you need to rest. Or woman, for that matter.
Yes, as Carla was saying earlier, I have to represent. I'm glad you threw that in there. Didn't make me call you out on that one.
I'm not biased.
Oh, shoot. So you've referenced a couple of times your clients, and so obviously you coach. What got you started down the path of coaching? I mean, obviously you had a great weight loss story of your own, but was that really what triggered your decision, or were there some other motivating factors behind it?
Well, because I was so busy being distracted with trying to make a living in corporate sales, I wasn't so focused on helping anybody else but myself. It was a very selfish standpoint. And even every once in a while, you get that feel, because when you're competing, you know, this is a singular sport. You know, it's about you, and it just, something about it just didn't feel right. And you know, of course, you know, you get all those people that approach you at the gym, and they want to know how you did it. They want to know what they need to do. And being a personal trainer at an early age, you know, I was told, hey, you're never going to make money doing that. And, you know, I was young, I was impressionable, and I actually listened to that. And instead of pursuing health and fitness right out of school, I proceeded to go the corporate sales route. And, you know, it's great, you make money, but it's not fulfilling. And after a couple of years of doing this for myself, you know, I still felt that there was something missing. My grandfather and my father both had said, you know, you have so much potential, but you're just wasting it not helping others. And that kind of harped on me for the past decade. And I started doing some personal training after the first couple shows. And, you know, so I had both the personal training, I had the sales job. And it wasn't until my sales job actually, basically they changed the way the format was. We lost all our commissions, we lost our bonusing. And so it was about a 2/3 cut in pay. And I was like, you know what, if I'm going to do something that is going to pay that much, I'm going to just make it my full-time job to personal train, help others, and coach. And it launched into something that opened my heart up completely. And I mean, even my people that work with me, they know that it's about them. You know, this sport of upcoming athletes, it's literally, what are you doing to give back to others, and how are you going to help others improve? You know, it's not about you anymore, because these are the people that look up to you after you've been out in the sport for so long. And it just continues. And it gives me a warm feeling before I go to bed every night. So it's just one of those things. You feel blessed to know a lot of these people that, one, they look up to you, and number two, they need guidance, just like I did when I first started. And it's literally taking that and running with it and growing it.
That's so true, and I'm so thankful that that good information can get out there now. And one of the things that Matt and I used to talk about that was so painful was the bro science, and we've always been so thankful that it's going away And for both of us, I can say it's not going away fast enough. And there's still some things that are coming up. And I think this one goes right along with what Jeff is asking, with how to pick a competent coach and not just somebody that's being recommended. And how would you know that the person is actually, you know, good enough to get you to stage without ruining your health? Because that's something Matt and I have both talked about in detail and in depth.
It's basically asking questions. You have to quiz the person. And anytime you get a coach that you, get chastised for asking questions, that's when you definitely need to be finding another coach. Because I believe, like, even Cliff, you know, we've gone back and forth a couple times, and you know, I've questioned things, but the whole thing is I question to understand more. I argue to understand more, and it's not about, you know, who's right, who's wrong. It's about wanting to know more information and going out there and seeking the information along with having somebody who's going to be keeping an eye on you. There, like you said, there are a ton of these people that send out cookie cutter nutrition plans and cookie cutter workout plans. And you know, when it comes down to it, most workout plans will work for everybody depending on, you know, if they have any impingements or, ailments that aren't mentioned. But, the real key is the nutrition aspect. You know, that's what brings you in. If you're not eating according to your body, it's so individualized. Most people who do cookie cutter diets don't have the same response with every single person. And I see so many. I had an athlete approach me that was, she was working with a coach and she was doing great, and all of a sudden she stopped getting results, and the nutrition stopped working, and it was increased cardio by this much, decrease your food by this much, and there was no rhyme or reason behind it, and it was just a horrible, horrible nutrition plan. And when you hear about stuff like that, it's just, you have a bleeding heart, and you just help them out. But, you know, getting back to it, it's literally asking the right questions in order to find the right coach.
Yep, and I totally agree with that. And that's something that we have talked about with other guests on other shows, and it basically does come down to doing your homework, you know, asking the right questions and asking around. Get more than one recommendation or referral and, you know, really find out what people's experience have been like if you can find someone who has used that coach. And then ask the coach for referrals. I mean, you take the chance that they're just going to send their best people to you, but they should be able to provide a list of individuals that you can follow up on. And if they don't want to do that, again, you should be looking for another coach. Sally wants to know, Matthew, if it is harder to coach a female versus a male. Is it harder to teach them, train them versus your male clients?
That's a difficult question, because I think just as nutrition is very, very individualized, I think every person's mentality is very, very individualized. You know, are they willing to follow the plan to the T? Are they mentally strong, or do they need constant reinforcement and words of affirmations? Do you have people that will follow the plan and just fly off the seat on the nearest ice cream truck, or in your case,
yeah,
the cookie truck? You know?
Yes.
You know, it really depends. Like, every single thing, I can boil it down to another one of the clipisms I picked up is, it depends. Each person is so individual with mentality, with the way their metabolism is. I'd have to say that it's about 50-50 on that question. I think it can go either way. It just depends on the person themselves and what they're wanting and how badly do they want it.
And I'm going to piggyback that one because I've been asked by people for recommendations, and I haven't been able to recommend anybody. And when they asked me why, I said, because you're so combative that you wouldn't be trainable. Because it's some people are so ready to fight even the people that are sent to help them, and that's frightening. And for a good coach, they'll just say, you know, save your money and don't come to me. But, you know, some are still learning to be good trainers and nutritionists and everything. So they're basically stepping out and stepping up, and it's a challenge on both sides. So I like that answer, man, and it's so true. And I've said this 100 times over. Some people just don't need to be in bodybuilding, and it's not that they're bad people. It's just that like Matt was saying, with the mentality that they're going into it, it wouldn't be successful for anyone, not the promoter, not the competitor, and not the coach. So, you know, if it's going down that lane, then it's not really worth doing. And I'm not trying to talk anybody out of competition, but I am saying you should really go into it with a better mindset than a first place trophy only showing, you know, the legitimacy of you competing.
It's so funny that you say that, because I was actually just thinking after your piggyback question, there are people that I do try to talk out of competing, because if they have basically it boils down to body image. Can you handle your body going in and out of a state of being lean? That was something that even I thought, you know, being the overweight guy coming down, and as I'm gaining weight after a contest, you know, you deal with, you know, you're going to put a little bit of fluff on. You're going to have a little bit more body fat than what you're wanting to look like. You know, being lean all year round as a natural athlete, it's not always a good benefit to you. It destroys your hormones. You have to rebuild. And then when it comes time to lean down and try to get ready for a contest again, it could be more difficult. It could take even longer. You could have more cardio than you ever want to do in order to get into the contest shape that you want. But literally dealing with you know, the mental toughness, and basically breaking that one down is, can you handle a couple pounds over your weight? You know, can you handle being a little fatter than you want to be at that point in time? And that is something that can make or break somebody after a show.
It's a very real thing, too. I mean, I'm sure it is for men, but especially with the ladies, and that's putting the weight back on after you come off of a competition and being stage ready, because you truly do love the way that you look, the way that you feel, the way that your clothes fit. I mean, all of that stuff, all of it. And then, you know, depending on how your body carries weight, all of that can change in a matter of days. And not that it's really significant weight gain, but, you know, even 5 to 8 pounds can look dramatically different on different frames. And so you see a lot of posts about, you know, almost post-show depression with ladies.
Yes.
I especially notice, and maybe ladies just talk about it more, but almost the post-show depression because of the way your body has reverted back to, which is a healthier state for your body, but it just doesn't look the same. And so then emotionally it doesn't feel the same, even though from a health perspective it's better for you than, you know, than where you were, because your body just can't sustain that level of leanness for very long and remain healthy and still have a metabolism that functions. So,
I was having a conversation earlier today, actually, and, you know, about a month ago, you know, I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, you know, I've put on, like 18 pounds in the past few months, and you're sitting there and, you know, my mentality still goes back to the, you know, the big guy, not wanting to put on any extra body fat. And, you know, I had a good friend with me, Jack Halverson, and he's sitting there. He's just like, Matt, you're not as fluffy as you think you are. You know, you need to get out of your head because, you know, most people would wish to be as lean as you are in the off season. And I'm sitting there just going, really? You know, it didn't click. And then, you know, eventually it did. And you just sit there and you just go, okay, I'm done thinking about that. Moving on. And, you know, it's always going to be a little bit of a battle here and there, but you have to be comfortable with your off season.
What was that?
I said, yes, preach.
You have to be comfortable with being a few pounds over, you know, whether it's 15, whether it's 20. Hey, you know what? Some people do well with just going off of a not even doing a reverse diet and just going off and spending some time, you know, enjoying life. And this is only long term if you're enjoying it. If you're miserable and you're down on yourself, it's not going to last very long. You're just going to go off reservation, and it's going to be permanently off reservation if you don't reel it in. You know, your mentality, that's where your focus is, and you have to change it.
And that's true. I mean, and that's what we talk about so much, is it is about lifestyle. You know, competing is a sport, it's a passion, it's a fun thing. But really what it comes down to is the lifestyle that you learn from it, that you can bring to it, and that is sustainable over time. Because, you know, not everybody wants to compete forever. And if it takes a competition for you to focus on what your health goals are, I mean, for short term, great, but that's really not a sustainable lifestyle either. You know, it has to be something that you can enjoy and still live the life and enjoy the level of health that you want going forward. And so here we go. So Luke is jealous of your size, Matt. He wants to know. We have a little muscle envy going on here. He wants to know how you have such big muscles. And I think you answered that with the muscle maturity question, but I'll let you address that again. And then also, how much do you weigh? How much do you weigh when you're stage ready compared to now?
Okay. Well, you know, I'll bring in another mutual friend of ours, Meshack, and. I mean, seriously, you want to talk muscle bellies and how large, you know, people can look. You know, being short in stature definitely has its benefits. And but the way you actually can train yourself, the amount of muscle that you can put on your body is limitless. You just have to keep at it. You have to go through it daily. I actually recently had about the past 8-9 months, I have a hard time getting off of this high-volume training that I do. I don't recommend it for everybody just because it's kind of almost gut-wrenching, sickening, according to at least a couple of my clients. You guys have all heard Herschel Walker, right? You've heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Herschel Walker?
Doing the push-ups and sit-ups and body
squat
today.
Yeah, 1,000 push-ups, 1,000 sit-ups.
You know, that was something I adapted because, you know, a lot of the volume has helped me attain a crisper, more full-looking physique. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody, but I'm just saying that it's something that has helped me out. And, you know, you go back to the old Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was it, Mike Menzner, you know, he had his style. Who was it, basically, these guys with the mentality of volume works. I think Mike Menzner was more of a high-intensity guy. And I believe in combining the both of them and just saying, hey, look, let's have a heavy high-intensity day and some volume work at the end of the week. And that has helped with a lot of what I do. I know... You know, everybody has their training style. Everybody has their training method and what they like to go to. But it's also doing the training that you like the least, because that's a lot of times what grows that muscle that it hasn't been hit that way.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other part of the question?
Your stage weight.
My stage weight. Generally between 168 pounds and 172 is roughly what I've been for the past, actually since I started. My first contest weight 9 years ago, I think it was 9 years ago, was 167. That was the first time I stepped on stage. And as of November 11th, I was 168 for that show. So in 8-9 years, not much has really changed except for the density of the muscle that I've had.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's talk about that, because I think maybe Luke is not understanding what you meant by muscle maturity, because I think people are so used to seeing the enhanced size aspect of it instead of the actual muscle growth. And that is a difference. I mean, like when you're talking about an outside source influencing muscle rather than a muscle naturally growing on its own, that's two different arenas. And I think a lot of the community, bodybuilding community, still doesn't fully understand, you know, what natural muscle looks like when it's been worked correctly and to perfection. And Matt, I would say also to piggyback on what we're already talking about, is that you're one of the people that's always challenging self, improving self, not in a selfish way, but just to show you for yourself what exactly is going on with your body and how to improve it. And that's something with the enhancements that even, you know, way back in the day of the original bodybuilder, Eugene Sandow, and he said that enhancements would stall the actual growth of muscle instead of improve it, because all he wanted was to improve his body, but with an outside source basically stealing the motivation and momentum, that he felt it would hinder the actual improvement of a body that was competing. And I agree with that, but I'd love to hear your take on that.
Well, I kind of agree with what you're saying right there. When it comes to taking that muscle and just transforming it, every year you do this, it's going to change. It's going to look different. Basically, it's like a really good wine. It's just going to age and get better. And the same thing goes with the muscle bellies in general. When you're talking about, like I said, the greats that are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s, you just see like so much great muscle over time. You know, when I first started this, I looked nothing like I do now, and it's just because I've taken the time to relax, hit it again, relax, hit it again, relax, and hit it again. And over time, it's changed to where there was a podcast that I listened to just a couple days ago where Cliff and his wife were on there about changing body fat set point. Every time you do this, you can actually change where your body fat actually stays. And my first off season, I was at like 19-20% body fat. The off season I had were the year I went pro in 2013. My body fat post show, I think the highest it went up to was 18. This time I'm sitting below 14%, and I'm sitting there just going, wow, you really can change these things. And it's just something that happens over time, and
yes,
allowing your body to go through basically what it considers a roller coaster. You know, it's just a season. And each time you do this, you can change how your body looks. It's time and patience. One of the biggest things I talk about. Patience.
Which is hard for all of us. I'm actually going to shift gears here because we're starting to run a little low on time. So we know that you're a coach. You have your own coaching business, but that's not the only business that you have. Tell us what other entrepreneurial shenanigans you have going on.
Oh, my goodness, shenanigans. Oh, boy.
Yes.
Well,
isn't that a fun word?
I love shenanigans. I love the shenanigans.
I love it.
There's a couple different things that I'm doing with there are some that I'm doing on my own and a couple that are with other people. The first that I'll mention is Morfit. And Morfit is basically your average Jane, average Joe, non-athlete who wants to improve themselves and get basically to an optimal body image and, you know, be healthier and live better. That's actually with a mutual friend slash he's actually family, Tyler Morrow, and it's his company. He started it up, and I just started working with him, and it's just nothing but a blossoming relationship between us and another person in the area. And one of the big things that I've been working on for the past few months is actually a clothing line. Branded MI or Muscle Initiative, me. And do you guys know what that stands for?
Muscle Initiative, MI?
Yeah. What's the theme behind that one?
Oh my gosh. Kaylin,
becoming
I'll let you feel
the
that
hero.
One.
Becoming
yes.
the hero. Basically, you know, something that's, you know, just happened. It was a thought process. You see all these companies, and a lot of them are always under this selfish standpoint of being this alpha, this person that's all about themselves. And that's great, and that's wonderful. But if you're going to be about yourself about the right reasons. And that's becoming the hero of your story. You know, you're the hero for your friends, your family, the people that, you know, if you're in the sport, they look up to you on stage and they want to know what it takes to be like you, or just the people that you inspire on a daily basis going in and out of a grocery store. You know, they get curious about that stuff, and you have to be the right person to guide them in that direction. And I said, you know what, you know, let's create a clothing company that represents that. And you know, there's a lot of things in the mix, and you know, I've gone through some bumps in the road, but you know, it's coming, and I can't wait until we get to unleash that on the rest of the world. And then, of course, you know, I have a couple other internet-based businesses that I've been working on, but those are for another time.
Okay, sounds fun. Sounds fun and fair. There was one thing that I would like to bring up, and I can remember when Matt and I were I think it was World Gym, and there was a fella that wanted him to promote something that wasn't so natural and wasn't so nice and wasn't so supportive of the natural community, and I was just amazed at how well he deflected that without being insulting, without raising his voice, and without making a scene. And you know, I challenge anyone of the natural community to stay natural in themselves, you know, because like you said, it's a mindset, it's a state of mind. And just to watch how, I mean, this guy was, not Matt, but the guy that was talking to Matt was being, he practiced his sales pitch so well. It sounded really good and clever until you got to the gist of what he was selling. And Matt did such a good job of basically saying thanks, but no thanks. And the guy, even though he was a little frustrated, he couldn't get the guy in the area that looked like a bodybuilder to promote his stuff. Like Matt was saying, it's not healthy in the long run. It's not sustainable for health. And at the end of the day, he had to live with what he was promoting. And I was just so blown away that he was able to do that in a way that, you know, with so many people standing around, it didn't become a scene. So, you know, for anyone that wants to question this man's mentality, I would have to challenge you, and I would basically challenge you face-to-face or on a show. It didn't matter.
Thank you, Kaylin. It's just something that, you know, I've seen it with other athletes. I've seen it with other friends of mine. And I just, I look, I go, hey, if that's for you, if that's what you want to do, you go ahead and do that. I don't need to be a part of that. And I've always been kind of a black sheep anyway, for a lot of different reasons, for a lot of different things. And that goes into a different topic for something else. But it's, I've always done basically what I thought was appropriate and right in this world. And, you know, I've had a lot of guidance with, you know, mentors that have helped me become stronger mentally. And it goes back to, what are you wanting to display to the world? What are you wanting to promote? And, you know, I don't have any problems or any qualms with anybody who is on the other side of the bodybuilding industry, of the natural bodybuilding industry. You know, that's what they want to do, and power to them. If they're going to be doing something with it, that's great. I only have an issue with those that compete in the natural industry that aren't natural. And that is the only part, that is the only part that will, it will get under my skin. And
yeah, I know.
You know, and yeah, that's their choice, but that's like just saying, hey, look, you know, I'm going to go here because I think it's going to be easy. But those are the gentlemen that never do well. And you can tell.
That is true. That is true. All right, so Matthew, the toughest question that you probably will have all night tonight. Your favorite P4P protein flavor, what is it?
Well, I'm actually a fan of the cotton candy BCAAs.
Okay.
What? Okay, I'll give you that. It's not protein. You still got to answer that, though. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm more of a fruit punch gal, but I can see it. I can see it.
And I still have to answer the protein question, huh?
You should do.
Just say it.
But I like
it. Everybody already knows.
Stop it, Caleb Patterson.
Let him
answer.
I wonder. I'm gonna have to go with the ice cream. Yes.
Okay.
For 500.
Okay.
For 500. All right. We'll give it to you. Woo! But could it be chocolate ice cream?
Oh, no.
All right, I just had to throw that in there. No, P4P does not have a chocolate ice cream flavor. No, they don't have it. It is ice cream sandwich. We got it. But if you do need that chocolate fix, their chocolate is phenomenal. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I snicker at that. I doodle
you
my head.
You snicker at that?
I snicker doodle that whole sentence.
Woo! All right. All right. So far, we're last two guests, we're 2 for 2. We're 2 for 2 on the ice cream sandwich. So there you go. And
hey, if we go any further, we'll be P for P.
Anyway, before we get too out of control here, Matthew, thanks so much for being on the show with us tonight. You have been awesome, shared a lot of great perspective with us. But before we close, and I know we're not going to have nearly enough time for you to get to everybody on your list, but would like to give you the chance to give shout-outs to folks that have been supportive of you on your journey.
All right. Well, I know I'm not going to get everybody, but I'll go ahead and I'll start with, hey, number one, God. Without that guy in my back corner, whew, I would be in a world of mess. And then, you know, basically your past guest, actually Matt Morosky, he is such an awesome dude. I've had the pleasure of being on stage with him a couple times, and it's been nothing but a pleasure for that humble spirit himself. Josh Miller, Meshach, and Tyann, you know, awesome people. Actually, my old mentor, Maurice, from my old jobs, awesome guy. My sponsors, actually, Nouveau Sushi here in actual Peoria, I couldn't ask for a better group of people to be behind me. Superpower Nutrition for always helping me out. Super Nutrition here in Peoria, actually another one of my sponsors, just always taking care of me. And then, you know, my mentors, you know, my father, my grandfather, even my brother, and of course, Cliff Wilson, and a few of the other gentlemen that roll around in the same cruise. But no, that's all I have for you.
All right, awesome. Oh, and one more listener comment here. Stan wants to say thank you for your openness this evening.
Oh, well,
so
thanks,
there you have it. There you have it. Thanks, Stan. Also, if anybody wants to, anybody in your area that may be listening and wants to know how they can get a hold of you, where can they find you at?
They can find me on Instagram at Ageless Body Progression, soon to be Muscle Initiative, or on Facebook at Matthew Burdess. That's Matthew Burdess. And go ahead and check those two
this
places
dude.
Out. And,
this dude.
Always send me a message. It's always been a pleasure, guys.
All right, Matthew. Well, thanks again, and have a great evening.
You too. Thank you.
Woo! All right. Good show, good guy. And I think he tanks that last question, though. He took the neutral route. He took the neutral route. I don't know that I'm convinced that ice cream sandwich is his favorite flavor.
You're just going to make
I just
him
think that. Yeah, I just think that because he knows he's eventually going to see both of us together at an upcoming show somewhere, he's just trying to maintain the peace.
Oh, my goodness. Because you know he's going to say snickerdoodle. Everyone loves
it. No, you know, no. He is a chocolate fan. He is a chocolate fan. But I'm telling you what, folks, listen up. We've got big plans in the works. Well, big as far as Kaylin and I are concerned. But we've got some big plans in the works to settle this conversation that we're having once and for all. And folks are going to get a chance to put in their 2 cents for snickerdoodle or chocolate. Or, you know, whatever your favorite flavor is. But, you know, what we're really talking about here is snickerdoodle and chocolate. And so we're getting details worked out. We're getting things fine-tuned. And just stay posted because you're going to want to be part of this debate. You're going to want to be part of the final vote. And, you know, whoever wins, it's still P for P. It's still an awesome product. I will still always be a chocolate fan. Kaylin will still always be a snickerdoodle fan. But it'll be fun to have bragging rights for at least a day. All right?
Hey,
so stay tuned. We're going to have more details on that.
What better catchphrase than snickerdoodle is snickerdoodle? Come on.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's clever. It is clever. I will give you that. But I'm not conceding that it's a better flavor. I'm not conceding it's a better flavor. Oh, and we're also going to be having soon our first attempt at a recipe video, and we are going to have some samples. I can't believe I'm saying this, but samples of snickerdoodle that we are going to be able to share with some lucky viewers. So keep your eyes open for that. And other than that, I'm not listening to him anymore. Hope you had a fantastic January. February kicks off tomorrow. We have got another month of just, again, fantastic people that are going to be on the show, including our second edition of the ladies' room. So, you know, stay tuned, and we're going to be bringing that to you. So, yep, ladies' room, on behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
It's snickerdoodle.